This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm John.
And this week we're talking about Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
We can't say it again.
That's it. That's all we got.
That's it. We don't want the guy to come in here, okay, and take over the podcast. That's not what we want.
I met him at Universal Studios, the real life guy.
What was he like?
He was lovely. I got a picture with him. He was very respectful. It was a magical experience. I've never seen my dad so excited, to be fair.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was your dad like a huge fan of Beetlejuice?
Yeah. Well, he loves Beetlejuice. He loves Michael Keaton. And he was just like, whoa, it's Beetlejuice. It's not Michael Keaton.
Oh my
Keaton,
God, it's him.
Imagine if it was Michael Keaton and I just didn't know. He's just traveling around the park. And I was like,
with
wow.
That massive wig. Hey, it's him. And he had that really gruffy accent. You know, he has with Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Brilliant.
But before we do talk about Beetlejuice, we got to say that Michael Keaton is also a great actor because you see him in numerous films. One of my favorite is Birdman. I love Birdman. Man.
The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance.
Yes, that is a very long-winded title, but it's a really good film. Before he started films, he'd done a lot of comedy stand-ups, but then he got into film and did a lot of drama. But it's really interesting when comedians get into the dramatic world of films. But yes, it's so interesting to see him in Beetlejuice again. I haven't seen it, so...
Yeah, the original.
Again. The original, oh yes, I haven't seen it.
Oh my God.
I've just seen this one, so...
What a bold statement. I'm just looking now, and he did, because obviously the original Beetlejuice was the breakout for him.
Yeah, 1988.
And beforehand, was it beforehand? Yeah, he did Mr. Mum, which was another really comedic role for him. And so when he was cast as Batman, everyone was like, what? This is the worst idea ever. You're casting Beetlejuice and Mr. Mum as Batman, like, yeah, brilliant. And obviously he proved everyone wrong and is fantastic as Batman.
He was a great Batman. I loved it.
Absolutely. So Beetlejuice 2, Beetlejuice. So you haven't seen the original.
I haven't seen the original, which everybody would be like, you haven't seen the original or the musical? I haven't seen the musical, but I have great things about the musical.
I would love to see the musical.
Imagine they made a movie musical.
I think that's very... If this film does as well as I think it could, I don't think that's too much to ask. You know, we've had this year alone, Mean Girls the musical, Color Purple the musical. You know, they're always adapting. We've got Wicked coming up soon. They're always adapting stage musicals. And I think if audiences show they have an interest in Beetlejuice, I don't see why they wouldn't. I mean, you know, obviously musicals is a whole different demographic, but I would love to watch the musical. I rewatched the original film a couple of days ago in preparation for this one, and it's not at all like the musical. And I guess the thing that I have to come clean with is I don't like the original very much. And
well, I can't say anything about that.
Well, that's good, because I think everyone disagrees with me here, but I think the original film is basically just a whole lot of nothing. It's just a bunch of people milling around in a house, and then at the end, there's some wacky hijinks. I don't think it's nearly as exciting or as memorable as the premise is. And what people remember of it, I think what people remember of it are like very short sequences. However, not only did I think this film was better than the original, genuinely, but I thought this was Tim Burton on fantastic form and him doing all the things he wanted to do in the original, but with decades more experience and I think a knowledge of what to do with those ideas.
Yeah, you could definitely see what Tim Burton was doing. I've seen bits of the first Beetlejuice, but I can't say anything about that and make opinions. But this one, I completely agree. It just reminded me of the Tim Burton films that I watched, Edward Scissorhands, The Nightmare Before Christmas. That movie still terrifies me. It's still spooky, but it's just his style, the practicality of the sets that you could really see his nightmarish, weird world that he's creating. And you can definitely see that is his trademark. And I loved the film's comedy. It's so fast paced. There is so much going on, but it felt like there was nothing wasted in the film. You just kept going and going and going. And I was just constantly laughing all the way through. And I think this might be one of the best comedies this year. I haven't seen a lot of comedies this year, to be honest. I'm just like, oh, this is pretty funny. I thought I loved how they used this style again, but it's in modern day. It's interesting to see that in modern day, because you see that in 2000s or in the 90s with Tim Burton style. It's very practical, but here with CGI, fascinating, I think.
Yeah, the interesting point about comedies. I'm actually looking at all the films I've seen this year. And I mean, there have been some incredible comedies, just some that have kind of gone under the radar. I think Kneecap is one of the funniest films have seen in so long.
I need to watch that
as
well.
It's so brilliant. Yeah, I don't know if it's even still on, because it's a very small film, very indie film, but it is phenomenal. I'd recommend everyone to go and see that. But I do think that it's interesting that the first film isn't very Tim Burton-y, I would argue. It has the elements, like the worm obviously is an iconic thing. It's very Tim Burton. And when you think Tim Burton, you do think of those films that you mentioned. Obviously, Nightmare Before Christmas is all his visuals and his design, obviously, and it's not directed by him, but you also have like Corpse Bride and Frankenweenie, which are directed by him. Stuff like Alice in Wonderland and Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
Yes.
More recently, at least in the 2010s. I feel like Tim Burton, he hasn't interested me for a while. I thought Dumbo was bad.
Oh yeah, but, you know, Dumbo.
And I think he's even said that he didn't enjoy doing those Disney films. And it's like, fair enough. You know, you got to get money. I think Dumbo made a billion somehow. It was 2019. It was a dark time. And so those films didn't interest me. But this, I feel like there is a return to some of those things that I think make Burton so great. Obviously, the entire Afterlife is really inspired by German expressionism. It's very Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. I loved all of those ideas and seeing them fully realized in the original, this kind of like really wonky corridor. And we see it again in this one, but it felt more practical. It felt more real. When they walked through it, it didn't feel like it stopped at a matte painting at a screen. And you actually see them walk through and it feels more tangible. And you're right, there is elements of CGI in this. But actually, what I loved the most about it was that it was mostly practical. So many of the practical effects astounded me. And I'm going to try and read my notes that I wrote in the cinema. Very difficult.
You're crazy. Yeah. You're crazy. Just like, I can see you like scribbling inside the cinema. Write this down.
I never write anything in the cinema, but I had so many thoughts just pouring out of me. So yeah, the practical effects, I've written here, Bob!
Oh my God, Bob.
Just like, what a guy.
Oh, what a legend. You know,
love
like,
him.
It was so devastating to see Bob gone.
He lived for 1,000 years-ish. Gone but not forgotten. That whole shrunken head effect was incredible. When all of like the other Bobs are just running outside, it's just hilarious. It's a beautiful, simple thing, and it feels so tangible. I love that. The little baby Beetlejuice that we see in one sequence, it looks so practical and so gnarly and so like gross. Really delightful. The worm, as I said, the stop motion effects with that and like the different mouths pulling back. And there is an entire stop motion sequence that I will talk about in spoilers, but that was really great as well, because it just all feels so wonderful. There's a moment where Beetlejuice makes a joke about spilling his guts, and he opens up his chest and all of his guts literally spill out. And it was like some Buster Keaton level, you know, like when they jump through someone else's chest. And that was practical too. So much of this film, there's actually only one point personally that I was like, oh, CGI. And that's when a certain character is falling into some fire. I was like, that's obviously green screen. But how else are you going to do that, right? Like, I have nothing but admiration for how this film was done, especially the final sequence. Again, we're going to talk about it in spoilers, but the final sequence in the church was mwah, like chef's kiss amazing. I love that so much. And there's also a sequence where their body parts putting themselves back together with a staple. That's just an incredible blend of CGI and practical. Just flawless.
Yes, you literally took the words out of my mouth about which sequences I loved in that film. Those sequences were just amazing. An experience to watch in the cinema, because I drank one cup of coffee and then a Diet Coke.
And a whole six pack of beer, John. You're a wild animal.
I'm gonna get wasted and watching Beetlejuice 2. And my heart was just racing all the way throughout the film. And I was like, oh boy, this is going to be great. And I was just trying to experience the film. And do not watch it with so much caffeine, guys. That is the worst choice ever. Bad choice, bad choice. And I was just like, okay, John, we can get through without having a panic attack with so much caffeine, right? One anxious thought, I would have cried on the spot in the cinema and I'd be like, ah!
Oh, no.
But no, the film really comforted me. And I thought the experience was just lovely with people who were like fans of the musical, but also the first movie as well. And then afterwards, there were some hardcore fans that did not like the film at all. They were just screaming like, this is crap. This is crap, guys. Arr. And I was like, oh, okay. They just stated their opinions. Cool. Wow, I just walked out of the cinema. But yeah, that was an interesting
scene. That's interesting. I can't see this annoying a lot of fans. I think there's definitely the element of it does retread certain things from the original. There's the idea of we're going back to the house and there's the denial of ghosts existing and the wedding. That's all very much the original. But from my perspective, I don't like it in the original. This is better than that. And so kind of, I don't mind that they retread it because they do it better and they do it in such a fresh way that it feels like it works. Not to say there were things that I didn't like. I mean, broadly, there's way too much going on in this film. We've got Lydia has her own stuff going on with her boyfriend, and then her daughter Astrid has her whole problems with her dad, and then she herself has a boyfriend, and Delia is dealing with the loss of Charles. And then you've got Beetlejuice's whole thing with Dolores, who's coming for him. And then you've got Willem Dafoe as the cop. I just want to say Willem Dafoe was just delightful. I can't fault the performances. Every single character was so amazing, brought to life so brilliantly. As you said, Michael Keaton is on top of his game. He's amazing. All the returning cast. Catherine O'Hara is hilarious. Yes. And there's actually one guy who plays the priest who really subtle bit of acting, but there's a bit where he's possessed. Yes. And he's moving his mouth, and it's so amazingly forced. It so feels like he doesn't want to move his mouth, like the whole time his mouth is like going like very as he's singing this song forcefully, whereas everyone else is lip syncing to it. It felt like he was really doing it, like being forced to do it. I loved all of that. But when it comes to bringing back old characters, we have that classic legacy sequel issue. Why does everyone have to look the same as they did 40 years ago? Lydia looks exactly the same as in the original, to the point where she has the same haircut. And, you know, I know that some people have same haircut all their lives, but most people definitely do. And I've changed my hair 3 times in the last year. The first time we see her, she's got this show and she's like, yes, I investigate paranormal things on TV. And I thought, wow, this is going to be great. This is going to be a commentary on how celebrities and film characters and icons in the public eye aren't allowed to grow. We're going to see her maybe take off a wig and be like, for God's sake, I still look the same as I do. But no, that's just how she looks. And that's how she looks throughout the entire thing. Even at the end, when all the trouble is past, that's what she looks like. I don't understand what the point of that was. I know that you want to bring stuff back and remind everyone how it used to be, but we've already got Beetlejuice. He looks the same. And that makes a bit more sense. But it was really frustrating to me that her character hasn't really grown in that time, visually, or even as a character herself. She doesn't really do much.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen it. I can't be like, I could. No, that character, he was walking very funny in the film. There's one other thing as well relating to, there's so much going on in this movie with so many plot lines. Kind of reminded me, because there was this Frozen Empire.
Yeah.
Because that movie had so many plot lines surrounding the main protagonist, and that was awful. That was awful they handled it. But here, I liked how they handled the plot lines in the story. They had better conclusions than what they did in Frozen Empire. I mean, sure, the movie was very fast-paced. But again, that's a comedy in how they just kept rolling its punches. They didn't want anything wasted. And I can definitely see that they just wanted to have like some emotional beats in the movie, but also they just wanted to keep it going with Beetlejuice. And again, with the comedy, I thought it was great. There was one particular sequence that was just so random, and I loved it, when he was explaining his backstory about Dolores, but in French.
Yes.
I really liked how such a powerful character who manipulates time and space kind of reminds me of a DC character like Batmite, for example. And that's why we kind of miss in film where characters can actually manipulate the film. I mean, Deadpool kind of did that.
I'll tell you what. Beetlejuice makes Deadpool look like child's play.
Yes, exactly.
You don't need any of those R-rated jokes. You just have some really great playing with the format, making some really fantastic wordplay. As I said, Spill Your Guts earlier on. There are some brilliant musical sequences, like one where he plays the guitar and serenades Lydia. And Michael Keaton, I don't think Ryan Reynolds is as bad as Deadpool. I think he's fantastic. But Michael Keaton just makes it look like the easiest thing in the world. And he is so funny.
It's just really nice to see him having fun again. You can really see him use that.
After The Flash.
Oh, yeah.
In that film where he looked like every moment he was like, oh, I hate this. And he said that as well. He did say in an interview. Yeah, who? You're who now?
I'm man.
He said in an interview, he was like, I was really happy because it was all real and it wasn't all like green screen. It was real sets. Yeah. It was real effects. And it was just him having a good time, having a goof around. And that's just delightful. He probably got to improv a lot of it as well. And it's just so delightful. And I love that idea of him being like a DC fifth dimensional being. He's very much like Mr. Mixes Piddalick. I really enjoy that level of it. And again, trying to read my notes. My curtains aren't open because I'm trying to protect my...
Of course. I was about to comment there, but I thought you were just reading this in the dark. Is like trying to talk about
with
Beetlejuice.
With sunglasses
like, yes.
on.
Oh, Beetlejuice. Let's talk about Beetlejuice. And trying
it's
to be
I'm
like...
trying to protect... Like, I'm not trying to protect... Month. I'm trying to protect this Lego that I'm selling from the sun. And the sun goes directly into my window. So,
I need to protect my Lego. The harvest... Lego harvest is bountiful this year, okay? You need to protect it.
The spices flip. I might have just sold two sets for about £75 for both of them.
Yippee!
Yeah, brilliant. one thing I've written down here is it's great to spend more time in the afterlife, expand on the concepts, but the human stuff is mostly a slog. It's exactly the same as in the original. I found the human stuff so much less interesting than the afterlife stuff. But unlike the original, we get to spend a lot of time in the afterlife here, which is so amazing. What the hell is this?
Afterlife is pretty cool. I really like we get to see the afterlife. Mm.
Yeah, we expand on it. There's a really great thing called the Soul Train. And
the Soul Train,
You go to the Soul Train. It's just a bunch of people dancing to soul music. That's brilliant. That's such a great idea. And I mentioned somebody falling into fire earlier, and it's this idea of like, you're out of luck. You pull a chain, the trap door opens, and you fall. It's great. Shall we get into spoilers?
Yes, let's get into spoilers. Yes.
Because I want to talk about the catalyst of why they come back to the house is because Charles is dead. And now anyone who knows...
That confused me. It's like so much going on with like Charles. Yeah. It's like, are they going back because of that? But then also Lydia seen Beetlejuice, but also her daughter. I don't know. So many things that just feels like, can't we just get to one single thing and just like talk about Charles? It's just like, oh, Charles dead. Charles.
Yeah, like the film is at its best when it's dealing with the supernatural characters. Lydia's fiance, Rory, is played so delightfully by Justin Theroux, but is so boring as a character. I didn't care about him in the slightest. And I think same with Delia. Delia is amazing. Catherine O'Hara is... I just want to watch her forever. She is so good, man. Like, it just made me want to rewatch Home Alone.
She is hilarious.
Because she's just fantastic. But she doesn't really get much to do, not really much to work with. It's same with Astrid, which is Lydia's daughter, and her whole struggle with her mum and with her dead dad and with this new boyfriend. There's a lot going on. And the catalyst with Charles's death. Now, those of you who are in the know, the actor didn't come back.
And we didn't see his face for obvious reasons as well.
Right, because he was charged with allegedly having sexual relationship with a minor. And I knew that going in. I knew that why he wasn't there. And
I did not know that. Oh,
right.
Okay.
It's really difficult. I'm at two minds about this. One mind is it was very uncomfortable watching all of these characters mourn pictures of this sex pest's face. I was just like, this is horrible. I don't want to think about this person in any relation. On the other hand, I think they handled it pretty well. They have a whole stop motion sequence where you see his death, and that was a really good way to dance around the fact that he wasn't there. And actually having him in the afterlife with a big like bite out of him with his, I guess it's his spine spurting out blood all the time. I thought that was a really cool concept and a great way to dance around the fact that, we can't have this guy back because he is horrible. I just wish that they had have steered clear at all of his face, because that's a really difficult thing. It felt like, the actor's dead and we're mourning, it's a beautiful tribute, but no, the actor is alive and a horrible, but like, it didn't sit well with me at all. I did love the stuff with him as an undead person or him in the animated sequence. sequence, but I did wish they'd have done something a bit different with that.
That, yeah, now my perception of the film is completely changed. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, that is weird. If you're trying to get rid of a person's face, you should not include them in the story at all. That bleeds into reality with that, and you don't want to have that kind of thing where it's conflicting to watch.
Yeah. It felt like an odd excuse to get back to the house, to get back to the iconography. Again, it's a legacy sequel. It's like we've got to go back to the same locations. We've got to see the same characters. They're going to all look the same. Once you move past that, you've got this beautiful gem. I did struggle in that first half, but it didn't matter by the end because the wedding sequence was just spectacular. Everyone singing along to this song with, as I said, the priest doing this amazing mouth work and Delia and Astrid dancing along. It's very much like the Daylight Come scene in the first film. And then you have Willem Dafoe and all the cops closing in on them and the wedding cape that's oozing goo and the worm, which is also a callback to the first one. And Dolores comes back, and it was a brilliant way to wrap up all the plot lines in this fantastic, enjoyable sequence where Michael Keaton gets to shine. All the actors get to shine. We get to redo what they did in the first film, but so much better. I was so stunned by that whole thing.
That was incredible to watch. It was so funny. Does this count as a musical? Because, okay, if we're going to go into that debate, like Joker, that has songs. That we're talking about songs like characters expressing their thoughts or scenarios that are playing in their mind, you know, with musicals. Now, this, in reference to musicals, does this count as a musical? We see Michael Keaton sing a bunch of times in this movie, and, you know, there's some song elements as well, so...
I do think it kind of counts. Obviously, it's not a musical exactly in the traditional sense.
Is there like a rule book?
Yeah.
Like, what counts as a musical? Okay, yeah. We're going to have dancing characters. We're going to have dream scenarios. That's what...
Does somebody sing a song about how they feel? Do they sing an I Want song? Because that's the key to any musical.
Is there a guy that plays on the piano? Just like, just like in the background.
Well, actually, it reminded me of The Marvels. Right? I thought The Marvels was fine, but the one thing that I was really disappointed about in The Marvels was the musical planet, because they go to this planet and the songs are nothing. It's just them singing words, you know? It's just like them being like, and then I went to the shops and it was very sad and I'm singing and we need your help. Like, instead of there being like an actual song and like a 1, 2, 3, 4 and everyone, you know, dancing and it all being really beautifully choreographed. And that was supposed to be the whole point of this planet. It's a musical planet, but they didn't do anything with it. And so my thought, I feel like I'm waving around my notebook like a crazy person. I'm just like, and another thing.
You're just gonna be like in the town square, be like, trying to protest, like, Beetlejuice is incredible, okay?
We are all sinners. Beetlejuice 2 is better than the original.
And then everyone would be like,
we're gonna march against the government.
Oh no.
Yeah, no. So yeah, I did love the musical sequences, and it does end a bit abruptly, and it was a little bit like, oh, is that it? But you know, that finale was just so good that I can't be too mad at it. It was so enjoyable.
It was so good.
And
so
throughout there are elements that I didn't like. You know, there was too much going on. Dolores barely got anything to do. It was a waste of Monica Bellucci. She has like 2 lines, if even that. Some of those characters you really could get out. You know, I wasn't a big fan of the whole setup, the whole cast list of the film. There were times when it felt a bit too reminiscent, but I didn't really mind. The score, unfortunately, it was nothing special. I haven't really heard a good Danny Elfman score in what feels like a long time, and that is a big shame. What's he done recently? He did Doctor Strange 2. I thought nothing of it. He did Dumbo. I thought nothing of it. Come on, Danny, you're better than this. You did
Danny,
Justice League, and it was
cook,
terrible.
Okay? You can cook. Think about music. Sorry, no, that's kind of mean. No,
think about it.
What an insane film, though. What an insane film to experience in the cinema. You know, it's leading up to the spooky month, and it's like that type of vibe as well. It's like,
why didn't it come out in October? It's set on Halloween. Literally set on like the 30th of October.
Is there any movies coming out in October that could potentially
Joker? Actually, that's probably why they didn't release Beetlejuice, because of Joker. Oh, Venom. Venom, The Last Dance.
Yes, The Last Dance peak. That is my most...
That's it.
Well, actually, Sonic 3, though. That's my most anticipated
Sonic.
As
I
well.
Saw the trailer for Sonic 3 before Beetlejuice. Oh, I thought it was just so cool.
Oh, it's going to be so peak. It's going to be so peak. Like,
I'm excited.
We loved Sonic 2. If you want to hear that Sonic 2 review, we loved it. We loved it so much that we actually freaked out with the shadow reveal as well.
Yes!
We're just like, oh my God. Oh
yeah.
My God.
I tell you what, anyone who's going to see Mufasa instead of
you're
Sonic
crazy.
3.
You're crazy. Why would you see Mufasa?
Take a good hard look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, what do I want out of life?
Sonic, you want Shadow. You want Keanu Reeves, okay? Don't you want more Keanu Reeves content? I've
Who
got
doesn't?
A picture of Keanu Reeves on the wall.
He does. He's not lying. It was his 60th birthday recently. Happy birthday, Keanu.
Oh, happy birthday, Keanu.
I want to say as well, while we're here, we're not going to do Mufasa on the podcast.
No.
I can't be bothered. Like, why would we do that? We're going to do Sonic. We're going to do Kraven. But yeah, we're going to do Sonic instead because
that's
who
too funny.
Honestly.
We just went on to like talking about Sonic. And we're like, yeah, we're going to talk about Sonic, but then Kraven. Is that going to be better or worse than Mufasa? That's going to be the question.
Well, Mufasa is Barry Jenkins.
Yes.
So, you know, as bad as I think it will be, he is the director of two films
Moonlight.
That I think Moonlight and yes. If Beale Street Could Talk. Phenomenal, phenomenal films. So I really, as much as I think it's going to be bad, it could be incredible. So, you know, who knows? Just based on that. Here I am still waving around my notebook. I've got no more notes to tell. I should put it down. I really should, but...
You should put it down.
All right, John, Beetlejuice. Give me out of 10.
I'm feeling an 8.
Very nice. I'm going to go 7. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you enjoyed it and you're listening on YouTube, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we are worthy. And next week, we're doing Lego Star Wars, Rebuild the Galaxy. We're doing Darth Ooh. Jar Jar. We're doing something... I want to be happy for Star Wars, please. It's been a bad month.
At least we're getting Lego Star Wars. That is the best content.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know what needs to be rebuilt? The Star Wars fandom. I'm so tired, John.
Yes.
I'm so tired.
YouTube, please, please fix. Please fix your...
Demonetize them.
Demonetize them, please.
Demonetize them and monetize us, please.
There's literally evidence.
I don't have a job. I'm dying.
There's literally evidence there. Well, these guys are spouting hateful rhetoric as well. So please consider and just look into that, please. Thank you. And yes, you can follow us on Instagram at Out of Time Film Pod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Asbel, on Twitter for more thoughts from Tom and me, and TikTok to see edited clips, which are all also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And you can find a link to that in the description below. Thanks to Elgin Smith for the excellent theme and Roland Phillips for vocals as always. And I think that's everything. Wow.
Yeah, and also you can email us at outoftimefilmpod@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on Rebuild the Galaxy. I forgot because I was sad.
Yes.
Oh
yes.
Dear.
I was like, what's missing? Why is not Tom yapping? Why is not yapping about his thing?
I was
anyway,
getting sad because bad people get money from this.
No, don't be sad, Tom. I know it's sad. We talked about Beetlejuice, so that's good.
We did.
Yes. Take what you're given.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.